Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined by Nick Frazier in studio. Parker Kelly behind the glass on this Tuesday morning, a Tony Tuesday on the program. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. I am back in studio. I listened back yesterday, and no, I was not broadcasting through a tin can and a string. That will be fixed next time I have to broadcast on the road. I was too confident in my ability to get my equipment to work in the hotel room, so we will have a mic next time.
Noted. I mean, oh boy. Noted. I may have some tips for you. So,
well, I do have a mic that, like a Blue Yeti mic that I can plug into my computer. I just didn't bring it because I thought I could get my equipment to work and that would sound better, obviously.
Right.
You know, hindsight's 20/20. We will plan ahead better next time. But I listened back. I was like, oh my God, people listen to this for 3 hours? Probably not. We are back in studio today. Glad to be back here. Nick Frazier is with us. Lots of Titans talk today. Roger McCreary traded from the Titans to the Rams yesterday, continuing the Titans' moves ahead of the trade deadline. We'll also talk Titans head coaching candidates, kind of organize our thoughts, because lots of candidates are being thrown out there. Let's see where we feel about these guys as we head into November. And also, I was called a homer yesterday for saying that 10-2 Vandy is a lock for the playoffs. We're going to do some math and see if I'm actually a homer or if that's true. So we'll do that.
I wouldn't call you a homer.
I was on X yesterday. Somebody said local homer says that Vandy can get in at 10-2.
Unbelievable. I mean, I still think they can. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that throughout the show. But before we do that, what a World Series game last night.
That was probably, I think, goes down as the best World Series game of, I'd say, the 21st century.
Did you
hands down.
Did you see the tweet of what their two 18-inning games in World Series history? Did you see what they have in common?
Both happened on the same day, right?
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Or I think
Brad Paisley played the national anthem. That is,
oh wow,
that is the one like connection is Brad Paisley played the national anthem for the game in 2018 that went 18 innings.
I didn't,
and then
know
he
that.
Did it again last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something about Brad Paisley, I guess.
Well, this is the fourth time I think I saw that he has played the national anthem at a World Series. All of them have gone to extra innings. So, if you want a good World Series game, call up Brad.
Paisley postseason. I guess that's what you call him up for. I mean, I think the other one you're talking about was Boston versus the Dodgers.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Muncy hit the home run to left center, I believe.
Right.
That
right.
was a crazy one. Off of Aldi.
Yeah, the Will Smith almost put that in the exact same spot yesterday. He bat flipped. Came up just short. That game was crazy. Lots of opportunities for both teams. The Blue Jays weren't taking great at-bats. The Dodgers kept threatening. We were talking before the show about the decision to not only intentionally walk Shohei Ohtani, but intentionally walk Mookie Betts to load the bases for Freddie Freeman. And he hit a ball to the warning track that almost won the game earlier on. He ended up winning it in the 18th inning.
Yeah, John Schneider's got some cojones on him to say, I'm going to walk Shohei Ohtani. The Mookie Betts, and like you said before, yeah, bring up the best probably RBI hitter on planet Earth in Freddie Freeman, best contact hitter of one of the best of his
generation. And one of the clutchest guys in the postseason we've seen over the last couple of years. So,
yeah.
You know, it was a classic game. I did not stay up for all of it. I had to see the home run this morning. We were on our way back from Memphis, rolled in about midnight. I got home around 12:30 and the game was still going on. I kept an eye on it for a second, but then I was like, you know what? I got to go to bed. You know, we don't get up Robbie and Rex Road early, but you know, still early enough that I was not going to stay up till 2 a.m. to see how that game ended up.
Yeah. I fell asleep after the 14th inning. I just rolled over on the couch. It's like, yeah, this game's going to another inning. I'm just going to fall asleep. Maybe I wake up for the 18th. I did not wake up for the 18th, so I watched the final four frames this morning, or three frames, that is, and wow, just jaw-dropping of how good that game was last night. The fact that you go basically, you know, have your pitching staff gone at some point. Like, you're about to put Yamamoto in there. I'm like, that's crazy. He pitched, what, a day and a half ago?
Right. Pitched 9 innings a day and a half ago.
105 pitches?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. I mean, it goes to show you Dave Roberts knows this team like the back of his hand.
Yeah.
Like, they even said it on the broadcast. He's pushing all the right buttons right now.
It is. That was a classic game. I mean, you mentioned coming out of the bullpen. Clayton Kershaw comes out of the bullpen for the Dodgers. We got to see Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw pitching the same game for almost certainly the final time. Maybe later on in this series it happens again, but I would guess that's the final time. I was having this conversation with my friends yesterday. Two of the three best pitchers of our generation, right? Yeah. Of the last 25 years, maybe 20, we'll say. Verlander, Kershaw, Scherzer. Two of them pitching last night in the World Series. It's tough for the Blue Jays because I don't know if you can come back from that. That's one of those games where, you know, every game in the World Series, there's a little bit of momentum that goes back and forth. But the old adage is momentum's only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. I don't know if that actually is true when you play an 18-inning game because it's so defeating for the team. You just played two full games in one night, basically, and lose on a play like that from Freddie Freeman. So I don't know if the Blue Jays are going to be able to come back from that.
Yeah, my biggest issue with the Blue Jays lineup right now, obviously you get Bo Bichette back for the World Series after his knee injury back in September, but you're fielding a lineup that involves Dalton Varsho, Miles Straw. I mean, what are we doing, a spring training team out here? Like, come on now. You got Clement, Andrés Giménez. Come on.
It is funny looking at the two lineups next to each other. Like, the Blue Jays are a very good team, and there's a reason they were the top seed in the AL. There's a reason they're in the World Series. But you look at those two rosters and you're like, all right, well, we can tell who has a half a billion dollar payroll.
Yeah, and right? Let's remember Ty France was a guy that was hitting like 198 two seasons ago for the Reds.
Yeah.
And like the Mariners dropped him, nobody wanted him, and now he's on a World Series team. It just goes to show you baseball is a roller coaster ride up and down there.
Yeah. I mean, the Blue Jays have plenty of talent, especially in the middle of their order with Bo Bichette and George Springer and Vladdy, but like you don't have the depth that the Dodgers do, being able to just, oh, our sixth best hitter is Teoscar Hernandez. Great.
Let's load it up.
He would probably be a middle-of-the-order hitter on every single other team in the MLB.
The only liability on that roster right now, especially in that lineup, would be Max Muncy, in my opinion. That guy can't hit to save his life, but can play defense.
But he's still a guy who has been playing in World Series for the last, like, 10 years, basically. So
it's crazy.
It was a classic game last night. Dodgers getting the walk-off home run in the 18th inning from Freddie Freeman. And they play again tonight, right? Yeah, so
Ohtani on the bump.
Quick turnaround, Shohei on the bump. This one could be over pretty quickly, I think, especially the Blue Jays. Not sure how much depth they're going to have in their bullpen. And Shohei Ohtani usually is going to have the advantage in the pitching matchup when he's out there on the mound.
So yeah.
It's been a good World Series so far. I'm hoping the Blue Jays can at least get it back to Toronto and see what happens, but not so sure that's going to happen. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I did want to mention, last night I was out there in Memphis for the Hoops for St. Jude tip-off classic, and we did get to visit St. Jude. I don't know, have you ever been there?
I've never been.
It's a special experience to go there and hear from the people who are working on, you know, developing cures for childhood cancer and the treatment, and the stats that they gave us of before that hospital opened, it was basically a 20% chance to survive childhood cancer, and they've got that up to 80%, which
That's
is
awesome.
It's unbelievable, and I was very thankful to be able to go and tour that facility. And they played for a great cause last night, two games, the Vandy women beating the Memphis women. It was a back-and-forth game. Vandy got off to a strong start. Memphis pulled back within five in the third, and then Vandy put up 42 points in the fourth quarter.
That's crazy.
Michaela Blake's dropping 40 in an exhibition game. Again, I will implore everyone out there who has not come out to Memorial Gym to see Michaela Blake's play. You got to do it at some point this year. Home opener is November 10th, so that's your first chance. She is unbelievable to watch. And Aubrey Galvin next to her, she only played in the first half, but the freshman, she made some passes yesterday that, again, it's just like, it's Jason Williams. It's white chocolate. Like, how did she see that? How did she do that? So, again, I implore you to come out and watch this team. They will be home for the first time November 10th, but plenty of opportunities throughout the non-conference season to get out there. 40-point game for Michaela Blake's last night.
That's crazy. I was watching some of your highlights you posted on Twitter. I mean, one, sounded great on the call.
Thank you.
Michaela Blake's, I mean, that how she finds some of those crevices inside the lane is crazy to me.
Well, I said it after one of those plays of, like, she is so hard to guard because she can shoot from anywhere on the floor. She has ridiculous range, but if you come out too far on her, she's going to blow right past you and take it all the way to the rim. So it's so hard to guard her. She was unstoppable, especially in the fourth quarter last night. So excited to get started with the season. 6 days away from the opener against Cal. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Also, John Calipari's return to Memphis last night. I believe Arkansas got the win. We were watching a little bit on the bus on the way back, but, you know, the World Series kind of took precedent at that point. Appreciate everybody texting and calling in yesterday on our Reaction Monday. Plenty to react to today. Roger McCreary, just minutes after our show ended yesterday, gets traded to the LA Rams. Titans continue to trade away their cornerbacks. They have now turned a seventh-round pick into a fifth-round pick with the trades of Jarvis Brownlee and Roger McCreary. We'll talk about it coming up next and what the Titans' plan is for this offseason where the holes continue to pile up on this roster. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday morning. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. That was Mike McCoy yesterday addressing the trade of Roger McCreary to the Rams for a conditional fifth-round pick. The Titans also send a conditional sixth-round pick back to L.A. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Not shocking news yesterday. There'd been a lot of smoke around Roger McCreary possibly getting traded. The return, underwhelming. But if that's the best offer you're getting and you had no intentions to keep Roger McCreary beyond this year, I get it. Like, I understand the decision, but man, does it put you in a tough spot with that secondary, not only for the rest of this season with whatever scraps you have left in that room, but you now have three cornerback spots. You know, I'm going to make the assumption L'Jarius Sneed won't be on the roster next year. You're now going to have three starting cornerback spots that you have to fill in one offseason.
I mean, I said this Sunday with Joe on the NFL pregame show, I'm okay with the Titans getting rid of every single quality player they have, but I'm upset with the return they got for Roger McCreary. I would have at least have liked a fourth-round pick. I think anything fifth and down is just bad. Like, I think fourth, you can actually get value out of that. Fifth-round pick, there's not much value unless you have the best scouts on planet Earth, which we know the Titans probably don't have. But I'm all for skipping 2026 and looking to 27. Meaning being is that you collect draft capital that you can somehow look into the future. Like, if you're a GM, you're kind of thinking, I think this team's probably going to be near the bottom of the totem pole. I'm going to trade with them. Even though they're probably competing right now, I'm going to trade with that team because I know later on in 27 or 26 draft, they're going to give me high draft capital.
Well, the Titans, the pick that they're likely going to get back is their own.
Yeah.
That was traded. It was in the Ernest Jones trade last year. They traded that pick for a fourth from the Rams with Ernest Jones. So it's disappointing because Roger McCreary is one of the few hits you've had in the draft over the last few years. And you already traded away Jarvis Brownlee, and you're only getting back minimal draft capital. You don't even get a clean pick back. Like, this team still only has seven draft picks in this upcoming draft. Yeah. They have one in every round now, one through seven. You need more than that. And for Roger McCreary, I understand if you didn't feel like an extension was worth it for him, you got to get value where you can. But you have to look at it and say, all right, well, he is the one guy you can say was a success from 2020 to 2022. Did you see this? Those three draft classes, do you know how many players are left on the Titans?
I think it's just Chigakonkwo.
It is
now,
just Chigakonkwo now, and there's a chance he's gone before the trade deadline coming up next week. It's tough to see these talented players get traded away for, you know, pennies on the dollar, basically. Yeah. But that's what the market is at the trade deadline. We saw it with Kevin Byard a couple of years ago. Like, Kevin Byard was still a talented player. We're seeing it this year. He's got four interceptions. Not in his prime anymore, but still all you got was, a fifth, sixth, and Terrell Edmonds, who all three of those players are no longer on the team. The Titans have to take advantage of what they can get for these expiring contracts, but you also look at it and say, man, we had one guy that we actually hit on over three drafts, and we just traded him for a late-round pick swap.
Yeah, like, it's front office malpractice, because if you can't give away one of your best players on defense for just a straight up pick, and you have to give up a sixth round pick for it along with him, to me that's front office malpractice. Either that shows an insecurity that the front office doesn't trust what they're doing, which is what it shows me, or you just simply don't know what you're doing.
I'm a little confused why they did it now, because you wonder if you wait closer to the deadline if you could get a better offer, right? Like that's where I am. Maybe that's the best offer on the table by far. I don't think the trade deadline in the NFL isn't like a lot of other sports where you can actually get a whole lot of value. Most of it is this. It's you're trading good players who can help contending teams for, you know, a couple of picks late, if that. But I do wonder if you waited and put the pressure on those other teams that want Roger McCreary, like the Rams or somebody else, I wonder if maybe they would have upped their offer a little bit.
I think so. You maybe might have been able to squeak out a fourth, because I think that's the right value for Roger McCreary right now, because the Titans obviously didn't sign him to a longer deal. And nonetheless, if you sign him to a deal before the season, you're not getting rid of him, obviously, for that. But he was, I think, if you go into this mindset of the Titans saying that's one of your best players on defense, and you go into this offseason and say he was still on the roster, he's going to ask for a lot of money because there's nobody else on that roster that's good. So you're going to give up majority of your money to him? Nah, I'm all right with that. So it was the right move to move on from him. It's just the price is not there.
And I did see this narrative on social media yesterday of, I think, Titans fans, and maybe I would include myself in this too, overrate McCreary a little bit because he is just a good player on a horrible team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he is a good player. Is Roger McCreary an elite player? Is he the best nickel in football? No. And you're going to have to pay. I saw his valuation on Spot Tracker or Over the Cap or whatever was like $14 million a year. And for the Titans, it doesn't make sense to pay anything close to that for a nickel cornerback with the way your roster is constructed right now. So they clearly didn't value it, and they made the move. The one thing I wonder is, if you waited a little bit longer, could you have gotten more? Could you have gotten a clean fifth-round pick for Roger McCreary instead of having to do the pick swap? Again, we're splitting hairs at this point. It's picks in the mid-hundreds that you're looking at right now.
But still, a fifth-round to a fourth-round pick, that could be the difference.
Well, and just getting the extra pick, right? Yeah, like, you did not get an extra pick in this trade. You just moved up 60 slots or so. And
your original pick.
You got your own pick back.
Yeah.
So, what is it? You traded Ernest Jones and Roger McCreary for a fourth-round pick? That's basically it?
Yeah, a conditional fifth, yeah.
Well, you got Gunnar Helm last year.
Yeah, Gunnar Helm, yeah.
So,
still not a great.
See, I like that trade, and maybe that's what we end up looking back at this and say, would you rather have Ernest Jones right now on that extension he just signed, or Gunnar Helm? And I think I would say Gunnar Helm. We don't know.
That's fair.
You know?
I think if Borgonzi is the one orchestrating all of this, getting back your original picks, I mean, it's a good thing, but you just got to make...
picks are going to be high.
Yeah, exactly. But you just got to be able to... I think it's just a building process. That's how I'm trying to ideologize all this, is that he's, if that's a word, if he's trying to just get those original picks back and just slowly build from the bottom, because that's what they're doing. And again, I reiterate what I said Sunday. I'm okay with the Titans fielding a practice squad team there on Sundays going forward this season and next season, because what Amy Adams Strunk has done, along with everybody else in the front office, and the comment Eddie George said in the Tennessean, I think Mike Organ was the one on the story there, excuse me. She set this team back, what, a decade is what he said? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Around that number. Just do it. Do it now. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Put a practice squad team out there the next two seasons. Call it a day. Have high draft capital and just build through the draft.
I think that's what their plan is. I mean, we're seeing the skeleton crew they're putting out there now. Here is the cornerback room at this moment for the Titans. And they did make a waiver claim or a claim off a practice squad yesterday. Michael Robinson from Green Bay, former Tulane Green Wave player, picked in the seventh round of this year's draft. So, you know, maybe there's some promise there. But outside of that, here is the cornerback room for the Titans. Jalen Armour-Davis, who has been really, really bad. Really bad
favorite
this
player.
Season. Daryl Baker, who Baker has been serviceable for a waiver claim. Like, that's a guy that you put on the field, and he's not going to be completely unplayable. But is he good? No. Samuel Womack, who has been active for two games since the Titans claimed him off waivers, and sixth-round rookie Marcus Harris.
That's abysmal, but I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and be okay with it. That's literally the only thing you can do, is you just have to look from the outside in and say, you know what, I'm on board. You're forced to say, I'm on board.
Just hope that your fantasy wide receivers are playing the Titans the rest of the year. That's all I can say, because there is no one to cover them. Roger McCreary traded yesterday to the LA Rams a conditional fifth, the highest fifth-round pick for the Rams, which is likely going to be the Titans, is coming back to Tennessee, and then the Titans trading their lowest of their sixth-round picks. Move up about 60 spots in the draft, which is good.
And for the Rams, they're okay with it, because look at what they've done with all that draft capital in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
They've turned a lot of those late-round picks into really good players. So I would say really good, serviceable players for them on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis.
Yeah. The less need fart them picks, the classic statement there. Roger McCreary, quickly, we were talking about the statement that he put out there.
Oh, boy.
Misspelling Titans and Amy Adams Strunk's last name and calling them the Strunk family, not the Adams family, the Strunk family, was pretty funny. And then he misspelled Titans too. I think he put an extra I in there. It's like, I don't think it was intentional, but it'd be kind of funny if it was. Just on the way out, just be like, hey, to the Titans and the Strunk family, thank you so much.
It just shows the dysfunctionality in that whole entire organization, if that was, implied for that. But again, it's probably not him putting out the statement. It's somebody making those graphics and all that. But hey, good for him. Good for him. Yeah, he's finally out of Tennessee. He can enjoy his Bush's beans, is what he endorses or whatever it
yeah.
is. Enjoy that in California.
He gets a chance to go play for a possible playoff team. And he plays in the stadium where he made, I believe, his most famous play. Again, it was against the Chargers in SoFi Stadium, where he caught the ball and threw it back in bounds for an interception. That is the one play I think I'll always remember from Roger McCreary. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. So now that they've traded Roger McCreary, add another hole that the Titans have to fill. And I want to say this is now 3 years in a row that we've said there are too many holes to fill in one offseason. That can't keep happening. But let's talk about what the Titans can do this offseason. We'll do that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Chad Brinker after the draft in April talking about his goals for this team, trying to get to 30 top 100 picks, that'd be good, 30 overall picks over 3 years, 12 top 100 picks over his first three seasons. He made 9 picks in his first, or in Mike Borgonzi's first year, and 3 of those in the top 100. Right now you have 7 total picks, 3 in the top 100 this year. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. I thought it was funny, listening back to that clip, hearing Chad say, I wanted to get more. It wasn't Mike wanted to get more. It was I wanted to get more. So Mike may be in charge of choosing the players, but clearly Chad Brinker is in charge of making the trades up and down the draft.
He is the guy that says I do on that phone call, not Mike Borgonzi. Hey, Mike, do you want to answer this phone call? No. That's exactly what Chad Brinker does at press conferences, at phone calls, at lunch. Hey, Mike, you want me to cut your meat for you right here? You cool with that? You like steak medium rare?
Yep.
That's exactly what Chad Brinker is.
Well, Chad Brinker has made it clear he wants this team to be draft and develop. And in order to do that, you've got to have draft capital. Right now, you have 7 picks, 1 in each round. You've basically recouped your 7 picks. I don't know if the 6th is actually the Titans anymore. The 6th and 7th may be different. But you got your 5th round pick back in the trade for Roger McCreary yesterday. But you still only have those 3 top 100 picks. The only way I can see this team actually being able to get to those goals of 30 total picks and 12 in the top 100 is you got to trade back, maybe not just this year, but maybe next year too, to continue to build up these resources. And I think that would be the odds-on favorite by far of what the Titans do with their first-round pick this year, is just trade out of it. Because, yeah, would Reuben Bain be great? Or whoever the top edge rusher is, Arvell Reese at Ohio State's a great player too. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking on TD had a player from Texas A&M that he brought up as well.
Oh, Cassius Howell?
Yes, Cassius Howell. Yeah, so there's plenty of good players, but you need lots of good players. You don't need just one good player. You need a ton.
Right.
There are too many holes on this team. And free agency, I know you have a lot of cap space, but free agency isn't going to fill all of them. You've got to be able to add more draft picks, and you got to start hitting on them.
Yeah, I was having a candid conversation yesterday with John McClain before he hopped on with Chase McJoe, and we were in agreement of this is a defensive-heavy draft where you could get a lot of really good day-one players in a roundabout way. They may be on the third or fourth round, but they still can be very serviceable on a day-one, I guess, season one, I mean, essentially for them. So, you know, you look at teams, and you mentioned this during the break and not just now about how you want to have a trade partner that can be 2 or 3 years down the road that may be picking in the top five,
yeah,
whatever it may be. And that works out well for the aspect of collecting those top 100 picks, because if you don't do that, then you're just continuously doing the same cycle over and over again. You got to somehow get one step ahead of somebody else.
And I think the trades that the Titans have made – have made it clear, kind of like you said, that 2026 is not going to be their year.
No.
Right? Like, they're not looking to go from worst to first next year. Next year is going to be another rebuilding year. And I know that's not fun for Titans fans to hear, but everything the Titans have done and said basically tells you that they're looking at 2027 as the year that they can step back into being competitive. So, the holes this offseason, I've got these. Wide receiver one, I think you're going to need a new running back.
Yes.
I mean, maybe Pollard or Spears is still around, but I think you need a running back. Right guard, do you feel good enough about Jackson Slater stepping in there? That's something that I don't know. We haven't seen him yet, but Kevin Zeitler's not going to be here next year.
Right.
I think all of the other four offensive linemen are sticking around. They've had to use too many picks on the offensive line that I think they're just going to leave it as is, and Dan Moore will be replaced in 2027.
Right.
You need at least one high-end edge rusher. You probably need two total. I think you need to use an early pick and a late pick on an edge. And then you need cornerbacks 1, 2, and 3. That's a lot of holes for a team with only 7 picks. And in free agency, yes, you have 120-something million in cap space. But as we've seen with this team, free agency usually doesn't fill those holes the way you hope it does. And even if you do find a guy who's serviceable, is he going to fit the timeline for this team to actually be a key player when you need it? Or is he just a, hey, let's patch this up for a year
plug
and move
and play
on?
Exactly. And you look at what the Titans have done in the past. They've grabbed a bunch of veteran players and paid them top dollar money. If you're Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker, discuss this a little bit to where you go, you know what, I like this 24, 25, 6, 26-year-old that can be serviceable for us for like good 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Put him to a 2-3 year contract. I think a lot of guys, obviously, you know, longevity reasons and financial reasons, you want to make sure you have a secure future with all that financial compensation.
Yeah.
But at the same time, 2-3 years, I think that's what you set on for a 26-year-old.
I think that is the free agency aisle that the Titans will be shopping in. They're not going to go after, I don't even know if there are a ton of big names out there, but they're not going to be shopping in the, hey, we need to spend four years, $96 million on Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
That is his exact contract, I think.
That's crazy.
But they're not going to be shopping in that aisle. I think you're right. It's going to be guys off their rookie contract who show a little promise, you can get on the cheap for 1 to 2 years, maybe 3, and see what they can do. And guess what? You're not investing a whole lot if they don't work out, and you can replace them in the draft.
Yeah, you're not in a financial hole.
Alex Heron says the Titans have 11 picks this year. That is not true. Maybe you hope they have 11 picks eventually, but right now they have 7. They have 1 in each round. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. After the trade yesterday with Roger McCreary. Let's go to let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our good friend Trey is on the line talking about Mike Borgonzi. Trey, good morning. What you got for us today?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I just want to say that I don't agree or like Mike Borgonzi. The simple fact is that because it seems like every time that he talks, he doesn't have anything specific to say about certain players that's on the team. He always had these generalizations about, you know, different positions on the team. And I think he's running the team like a used car lot. Basically, he's going out getting veteran players paying them all different kinds of money, and they're not withstanding what we need as far as the team. And then when he got hired, they asked Coach Andy Reid, what do you think about the Titans hired for the new GM? And he was like, who? And the reporter was like, Mike Bergonzi. And he kind of like smirked, like, ha, that guy. And I knew then that it was going to be a failure. And that's why I don't like him. I think he's a scam artist, basically. And y'all have a good day. And thank you.
Thank you for the call, Trey. I wanted to look this up because that was not the impression I got when Andy Reid spoke on Mike Borgonzi. Here is the quote from Andy Reid on Mike Borgonzi. My hat goes off to Borgo going to Tennessee. He's now the enemy, but we're glad he was able to get that job as the general manager there. He's done a phenomenal job for us here. We love the guy, but he's on another AFC team now. So I don't agree with that. If you're looking for anybody to blame for the Titans right now, Mike Borgonzi should be at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yes.
Because at the very least, his draft picks seem to look competent, which is more than the last four draft classes can say. And free agency-wise, he didn't go out and overspend. Dan Moore was obviously an expensive addition, but for a left tackle, that's the price you have to pay. And again, I don't think Dan Moore has been horrible this year. He hasn't been elite, but he hasn't been horrible, and I think that's what you expected. He hasn't out after 2 years. You need him to be competent for 2 years, and then you can draft somebody to replace him. But Mike Borgonzi, I think, is the last person that I would blame for anything going on here with the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, Borgonzi hasn't had much to really show for, minus those draft picks. I mean, you could blame it more on Chad Brinker. He hadn't allowed him to really do his job, per se, from the outsiders looking in. Nobody really knows much about Mike Borgonzi other than some of the draft picks that he's attributed to.
Yeah,
I mean, Chad Brinker's been the one that's been on the phone and everything else. Like I started off the segment with, he's cutting his steak at lunch and all that. Like it's ridiculous.
I think Mike Borgonzi has a vision for this team.
Yes,
and I think his moves have made sense to accomplish that vision. And I know Titans fans are getting impatient. You know, the team's been bad for 3 years, and you don't want to buy into another rebuild season in 2026. But I do think that Mike Borgonzi has a plan, and he's sticking to it. He's trading away expiring contracts that he doesn't think fit this team's long-term vision. Jarvis Brownlee, we'll never know what happened behind the scenes there, but clearly that wasn't a culture fit. I think he is planning on trading back from whatever pick they end up with this year, and you hopefully add some assets. And we mentioned it. Maybe you trade to a team that comes up to get a quarterback. They take Fernando Mendoza or whoever ends up being. I mean, right now we don't really have a good grasp on who.
Lenore Sellers, maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
At this point last year, Shedeur Sanders seemed to be the shoe-in number one pick at quarterback. So we don't know who's going to be the number one pick. But you would guess a team is going to fall in love with one of the smorgasbord of quarterback options out there in the draft this year. You trade that pick, maybe they end up having a year like you do this year with a rookie quarterback, and you can get the third or fourth overall pick.
Not with that scam artist, they're not.
Trey, hey.
Oh.
Have you been listening to the Titans on the radio again?
I asked him when I picked up the phone. I'm like, have you watched any more Cam Ward since yesterday?
Yeah.
And, of course, he has not.
I really don't know how he was able to call in for 2 months and not actually have watched a single Titans game.
Well, that just goes to show you how his ears are. His ears don't like the way Cam Ward plays. His eyes may say differently.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll continue to talk Titans on the other side. What is the plan for this offseason? How do they fill in some of these holes to start building for 2027? Because again, that's kind of where we are at this point. They've got to be, when the new stadium opens up, you got to be competitive. We'll see if they can, you know, use this trade deadline to add a couple more assets before it comes up next week. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. The Blue Raiders will take on Jacksonville State tomorrow at 6:30. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly alongside you on this Tuesday. Titans Made the trade yesterday, sending Roger McCreary to the Rams, getting a late-round pick swap back. Now two cornerbacks that they've traded away and gotten similar returns for. The Titans have 7 picks. They're slowly moving them up a little bit higher in the draft. But in order to turn this team around, you need high draft picks. I think the only way to do that is to trade out. And where do they spend those picks is going to be the question. You were talking about it during the break about how you think all defense is the way to go. Just load up on the defense, and then maybe you wait for those two Maseratis waiting to be released.
Yes.
Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams coming out in 2027. You maybe say, hey, let's trade back. If we pick up another first in 2027, we can get the go-to wide receiver then. But you also have to make sure you're giving your rookie quarterback enough resources to have success, because the leash is going to get shorter and shorter and shorter. And if he has a bad year in 2026, it may be too late by the time you're able to get one of those top wide receivers in here.
Very true. But again, it goes back to our conversation about how you can go grab a 26-year-old you hope that's on an expiring rookie contract and say, you have to basically fool the agent and fool the player, and it kind of sounds mean in a roundabout way. We see a lot of bright future in you to come to Nashville and be Cam Ward's number one guy. Obviously, Elik Iemanjiang is kind of forming into being that going forward, but we need you, ex-player, to be that number one guy for Cam Ward. And if you can get that buy-in from a player that's 26, 27 years old on a 2-3-year deal at a cheap offer, then you can kind of field that void that Cam Ward needs, and then you can go back to the draft and say, yeah, we still have this back in the fold. That's what you have to do. It's a game of chess. And if you play the game of chess wrong, which I'm not a good chess player, so it, again, kind of opens up my poker hand, but you know, I think that's something you have to look at.
Yes, I do think that you have to play the game a little bit here, and trading back is the only way you're going to be able to turn this around. You look at 2016 for the Titans. You traded back and you turned a 2-14 and then 3-13 team into a 9-7 team in 1 year. That's how you can do it, and you got to hope you end up towards the top of the draft. You got to hope there's a dance partner who wants to come up and take it from you. I do want to apologize. There's been some confusion about how many picks the Titans have. They do have 8. They have 8, not 7. So okay. I was miscounting. They have 2 sixth-round picks, not 1. So changes the whole outlook of what this team's going to look like.
Not 11. We know that for a fact.
Yes, they do not have 11. That was all of the picks that have come through the Titans at any point. So,
gotcha.
Like, maybe they had this pick at one point and then traded away.
Gotcha.
They do have 8 currently. They have a first, second, third, fourth, fifth. Then the 2 best sixth of the 3 that they currently have. The other one will go to the Rams, and then they have the 7th. Hmm. So there you go. You got 8. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I think in free agency, I looked at the cornerback options, because you're not going to be able to get 3 starting cornerbacks in the draft next year with all of the needs that you have. We said wide receiver, edge, maybe a running back. You could take a cornerback early. You're going to probably need to take at least one. But I think you got to go in free agency. And, man, the free agency options are not great. I mean,
yeah.
The names that I picked out that at least interest me a little bit, Amik Robertson, who's had a little bit of success with the Raiders and the Lions. Greg Newsome, who just got traded from the Browns to the Jaguars. I mean, he's former second-round pick. He's had some success. And then maybe you want to go veteran, established guy who you sign on a 1-year deal. Will they want to come here and sign up for a bad team? I don't know, but like a Darius Slay, a Jair Alexander, those guys will be out there. But the simple fact is, you're not going to go find a guy who's going to start at cornerback for you for the next 4 years in free agency. That's one of those positions that you now have signed yourself up to take a cornerback in the top 100 at least twice in the next 2 years, because you traded away Jarvis Brownlee and Roger McCreary.
Yeah, and with the way this league is, you know, developing and changing and evolving, all the above, you got to value cornerbacks like the quarterback of the defense, because everything is passing, I'd say 70% of the time easily. You're passing the ball majority of the time, and if you don't value the secondary the way you do your offense, then you're going to get burned 9 times out of 10, and teams are going to put up 30, 40 points like they are right now.
Yep, there's a reason why cornerbacks are starting to get paid the same as wide receivers, because it is very, very difficult to stop these elite guys on the outside, and the Titans right now are running out, I mean, basically a practice squad version of the cornerback room.
Again, I'm okay with it until it starts to go bad in 27. That's all I got to say.
I mean, I look at it, and yes, you have Marcus Harris, the rookie, who I think they're high on for the future, and maybe that's what they think, is that he's part of the solution moving forward. But your other four players that you have in that cornerback room, including Micah Robinson, who you brought in yesterday, all of them have been released from a 53-man roster in the last 2 years. Like, those are not guys who should be starting cornerbacks for this team. And it's going to be ugly the rest of the year. This is a team that Parker and I had the conversation yesterday. Do they win another game this year? And I'm not confident that they do.
The one game I have circled on my calendar is against the New Orleans Saints.
I think the Browns and the Saints are the only two that you can look at and say, maybe there's a chance.
I think they have no chance against Cleveland.
Right.
That defense is good.
Myles Garrett just game-wrecking, but he had 5 sacks on Sunday, and they lost by 19.
Look, if there's a game where you want Cam Ward to not play in, it's against Cleveland. You don't want to get your franchise quarterback hurt against Myles Garrett.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they make up a, you know, shoulder soreness for Cam Ward that week? Brandon Allen, you get out there and you get hit 8 times by Myles Garrett. This is what we signed you for.
Yeah, take the beating. It's
funny. That's basically what I do when I play like the college football video game. It's like, if I'm playing a team that I know I'm going to beat, but my quarterback's a little banged up, just bench him and throw somebody else out there to take the hits. maybe that's the Titans' plan.
I mean, football is a different version of war in a roundabout way. You got to put out some of your best guys. Sometimes you don't.
Hey Cam, is your hamstring a little tight this week? Why don't you just sit down? We're going to be careful with you this week. Myles Garrett can go hit Brandon Allen for 4 quarters.
Love that.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll talk more Titans later on in the show. Wanted to organize our thoughts on the Titans head coaching candidates, because as much as the roster building is probably the most important thing for this Titans rebuild, you got to find the right guy in charge. And there have been a lot of names thrown out there since the Titans fired Brian Callahan just over 2 weeks ago. But yesterday, I was on Twitter. I was called a Vandy Homer, which, again, I'm not going to deny it, because I'm a company man. I do work over at Vanderbilt, so I'm not going to deny that I have a little bit of black and gold going here.
I'll stick up for you, though. It was not a Homer take.
But I said yesterday that I think Vandy is in the playoff at 10-2 and was called a Homer for that. So, you know what? We're going to dive deep, and we are going to look at the math of what a 10-2 Vanderbilt could be staring up against if they're trying to make the college football playoff. We'll do that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.